As we turn to God's word this morning, if I had a text, it would be from that Bible reading from 2 Samuel chapter 9, and it would be last part of verse 13, where it says of Mephibosheth, he always ate at the king's table. Bit of unusual text, he always ate at the king's table. I've been thinking recently about how our eating habits have changed, and changed quite a lot. Being one of those who've lived a long time now, I remember the end of the Second World War, and I remember as a little lad having to take, as you might have had to do too, some of you, the biggest tin I could find to school to get some milk chocolate powder that was coming from Canada. I can remember after the war eating my first banana. And our habits have changed now, and I know that my mother used to go to the butchers and she used to try to get the cheapest meat possible and make it last for ages. I remember eating things like tripe and elder and that kind of thing. That's going back a long time, isn't it? And we had to make do with what we got. And most people ate at home. Not so these days, is it? We've seen great changes through refrigeration, first of all, and then through convenience foods. And eating out now has become quite commonplace. And the places to go to eat out these days, some of the best places are public houses, aren't they, in hotels. When I was a lad, if you were a Christian, you never went anywhere near a public house. You kept away from strong drink. But how things have changed. I remember preaching at the last Band of Hope meeting in Nelson, preaching about Daniel, and how he was very careful about eating the king's food and so on, what he should eat. And I remember going to a church quite recently over Bradford Way and being told that the last temperance hall in the country had closed. But pubs and hotels aren't what they used to be, are they? It's quite pleasant to go into them now that they've banned smoking, for a start. You don't come out with all your clothes reeking of smoke. And with a policy now, rightly so, of if you drink, don't drive, then you're not frowned upon if you have an alcoholic drink. But I can remember days when I signed a pledge that I wouldn't touch strong drink at all. But things have changed a great deal, and it's quite easy to eat out these days. In fact, I was eating out this last week. Last night I was up at somebody's 50th birthday party at Burnley Golf Club. We're invited out this next week as well. But eating out is not cheap, is it? When you think about it, it can be very pleasant. And it's good to be able to fellowship together around the table. I must admit, our home, we don't often eat around the table. We ought to do. How many homes these days, they don't eat around the table, they sit with food on a tray, they watch the television. And eating at the table is not what it used to be. And yet eating at the table is very important. And I'd like to suggest this morning it's important for three reasons. It's not just a place of feeding, it's a place of fellowship. And it's also a place of feasting. And it's important, isn't it, that we look after ourselves, that we eat the proper foods and we keep as fit as we possibly can. There is a German proverb that says this: man is what he eats. And someone has said, tell me what you eat, and I will tell you what manner of man you are. And God, who has created us, body, mind, and spirit, right, is concerned that we keep as healthy as possible and we seek to live balanced, effective lives for our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. And the table is a place of feeding. Physically, we need food. Mentally, we need food. And spiritually, we need food. It's important we have a proper diet to keep ourselves physically fit. It's equally important that mentally we're very careful about what we take in, that we stimulate our minds, and it's important that we're very selective in what we watch on television. It's equally important that, you know, we're careful on the books that we read. And it's also important about what we listen to and who we listen to. And this morning, as we're worshipping here, spiritually, we need, do we not, the milk, the bread, the strong meat, the honey of God's word. And we need the daily intake, physically, mentally, and spiritually, to keep us leading balanced, rounded lives and seeking to live healthy lives for our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. And in our text this morning, we read of Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, and we read that he lived in Jerusalem and he always ate at the king's table. To be spiritually strong, how important it is that we eat daily, regularly, at the table of he who is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And in our Bible reading this morning from Ephesians, we've read, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ." And spiritually, all that we need is found in our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. And Paul here in his Roman prison, thinking of Christ and what Christ meant to him, says this, in reminding the Ephesians of their position in Christ: "God raised us up with Christ and seated us in the heavenly realms in him." Spiritually, in Christ, we're united with him. And he wants to feed us from his table. How important it is that you and I eat with he who is King of Kings and Lord of Lords at the Father's right hand. There's a great spiritual lesson in Mephibosheth. He was crippled in both his feet, and yet he was able to eat at the king's table like one of the king's sons. Humanly speaking, we are crippled with sin. And yet, crippled as we are with sin, once we know Christ, he raises us up, as he did with the Ephesian Christians, so that we might feed from Christ himself, from his table, and might be spiritually strong. Some of you may remember that old chorus we used to sing. "I'm feeding on the living bread, I'm drinking at the fountainhead, and whoso drinketh, Jesus said, will never thirst again." You remember it, some of you. But what is your experience, or what is my experience, of being able to feed at the table of he who is King of Kings and Lord of Lords? before you came to church this morning, did you feed it its table? Do you take your intake from the food of his word? The milk, the bread, the raw meat, as it were, the honey. How important it is each day that we come spiritually strong by feeding at his table. It's not only a place of feeding, it's a place of fellowship. Man is a social creature. We are created by a personal God to have personal fellowship with him, but also to have personal fellowship with each other. We need each other. We need to be strong together in our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. We need to be able to not only share everything with our Lord Jesus Christ at his table, but share everything amongst ourselves with each other, that we might pray for each other, we might encourage each other in the faith, and we might go on together for our Lord Jesus Christ. There are many lonely people around us these days, and one of the important things is that, you know, we as Christians are there for them, and we're the listening ear that they need. And I've often thought about, you know, how difficult it is for we in the church to get alongside those out of the church these days. It's not easy. It's not easy as we seek to be there for them. And it's not easy to seek to bridge that great gap there is between those in the world and those are in the church. But one of the best ways we can do it is by being there for them and being that listening ear that they need. And that was certainly true in the early church. And the early church knew what it was to have, as it were, at the table, that place of fellowship. And right at the beginning, when the Holy Spirit came upon the church, we are told by Luke in the Acts of the Apostles, all the believers were together, they had everything in common, and selling their possessions and goods, they gave to everyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple, they broke bread in their homes and ate together. Ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favour of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. And you know, when we have times of fellowship together, even over coffee and so on at the end of the service, or one of those times of special fellowship that you have when you meet together around a table and have a meal together, that's important. That's important in the church. It's important that we come together and we eat together and we share Christ together and what God is doing in our lives and what he means to us. That's vital. That's important. And he cares for each one of us. Mephibosheth ate at the king's table like one of the king's sons. And the king's sons were there, and Mephibosheth was there, and Mephibosheth had been invited to the table, and he ate with David the king and the king's sons. And that was very, very important. And it's important in the church that we who know and love our Lord Jesus Christ meet together for fellowship. And in meeting together for fellowship, we share with each other, we listen to each other, we pray for each other, we encourage each other in our walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know about one of your favourite hymns, but I know one of my favourite hymns is hymn number 60 here in Mission Praise. And it's the hymn that goes, "Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love. The fellowship of kindred minds is like to that above. And I know when I left the church where I came to Christ, I didn't go to the farewell meeting. I couldn't go, but I heard them outside singing this hymn. And it was written by a man called John Fawcett. And he lived at Wainscot in Yorkshire. And he lived in days when his annual income was something like £25 a year. And he and his wife felt that they ought to leave this particular Baptist church and they ought to go to a big Baptist church in London. And it came to the farewell. And they were so moved by the prayers, the love, and even the tears that were shed for them as they were about to leave, that John Fawcett, who wrote this hymn, his wife said to him, "John," she said, "we can't go. We can't leave this fellowship. They mean so much to us." And they stayed on the pittance that they got for their service for the Lord. The Lord provided for them. The church provided for them. But their fellowship in the Lord was so dear to them. And Fawcett wrote this hymn. Blessed, as a result of that, blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love. The fellowship of kindred minds is like to that above. Before our Father's throne we pour our ardent prayers, our fears, our hopes, our aims are one, our comforts and our prayers. And so the hymn goes on. They enjoyed such rich fellowship with our Lord and our Saviour, Jesus Christ. It's important that we eat individually at the table of the King of Kings. It's important that we eat collectively at the table of the King of Kings. It's important that we share together of what the Lord Jesus Christ is doing in our lives and what he means to us. Mephibosheth always ate at the king's table. It was a place of feeding. It was a place of fellowship. Might I suggest, it was also a place of feasting. Feasting at the table of the King of Kings. We feast, don't we, on special occasions. Might be Christmas. Could be Easter. Could be somebody's birthday. Could be a special anniversary. God warns us against gluttony, but at the same time, we do have these extra special feasts, weddings, baptisms, and so on. Family get-togethers. They're extra special. There are special delicacies that we have. They often cost a great deal, but it's a time of feasting. It's a time of fun. It's a time of happiness. And, you know, God wants us to enjoy special times of feasting spiritually. And it's not just at Christmas. It's not just at Easter. It's not just at Pentecost. It's time when God is blessing his church. And we're being so renewed that we've so much to share together with him that when we do come together, what a time of blessing it is. It reminds me of a prayer meeting we have at church on a Sunday morning. It's between 9:30 usually. And I remember just before Christmas this year at our church, at this particular prayer meeting, and a lady called Vi, who's come to us from the Seychelles, she said, "You know, I'm not looking forward to Christmas." She said, "My family don't know the Lord." She said, "I'd rather be here at church. I'd rather be at the prayer meeting where we're fellowshipping together than being, you know, feasting over Christmas with my family who don't know the Lord." When we feed at the King's table, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, when we have fellowship together, When God becomes really close to us, then those times are one of great feasting. My mind goes to when Christ had been crucified and two of them, the disciples, were leaving Jerusalem and they were going to Emmaus, 7 miles from Jerusalem. They'd heard rumours that Christ had risen again from the dead, but they didn't believe the rumours when this stranger came along and walked with them and asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" And they told him how Jesus had been crucified and so on. And he'd been a prophet who was powerful in word and deed before God and the people. And they were going home absolutely downhearted and despondent. And the stranger who they didn't recognise, who was Christ, said to them, "How foolish you are and slow of heart to believe all the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and enter into his glory?" And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. And as they invited him to stay with them, and he broke bread at the table, their eyes were opened and they recognized who he was, the risen Christ. And he disappeared from them. And what did they say? "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures?" Times of feasting. Times, I believe, when the risen Christ is so present with us that as we share together of what he's saying to us, what he's meaning to us, how he's using us in our lives, as we share together the scriptures, we have that experience of burning, of really getting hold of God's word, and it be a blessing to each and every one of us. You know, in the early church, before they came to the Lord's Supper, they each came with a contribution. They came to what was called a love feast. And they shared together before they broke the bread and they took the cup, speaking of the broken body of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Corinthian church were rebuked by the Apostle Paul in his first letter to them because they didn't wait for each other when they came to the table. And he said to them, "In the following directives, I have no praise for you, for your meetings do more harm than good. In the first place, I hear that when you come together as a church, there are divisions among you, and to some extent I believe." And then he said, "When you come together, it's not for the Lord's Supper you eat, for as you eat, each of you goes ahead without waiting for anybody else. One remains hungry, another gets drunk. Don't you have homes to eat and drink in?" he says. "And you despise the church of God." But when they came together for a meal first of all, what they called a love feast. And at the end of that love feast, they took the bread and they broke it that spoke to them of the Lord's broken body for them on the cross. And then they took the cup which spoke to them of the Lord's shed blood. And their time at the table became one when the Lord was especially present with them. What do you and I know of feeding at his table? What do you and I know of fellowshipping together and sharing together personally what our Lord Jesus Christ means to us, what he's doing in our lives from week to week, day to day, and how he speaks to us as privately we come to him in prayer and we turn to him in his word and we learn of him? All this morning, May you and I know something of the experience, like the Mephibosheth, of being able to feast at the king's table. Today, the King of Kings is present with us this morning. He's wanting us to come to his table. He's wanting us to take of all that he seeks to give us. Like the Laodicean church, is he this morning standing at the door and knocking and saying to us, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man, if any person hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and he'll come in to take of what we give him." But he says, "I will come into him and feast with him and he with me." And he wants to take us to his table. He wants to feed each and every one of us. He wants to do it on a regular basis. He wants to do it each day in our lives. The Laodicean church claimed to be rich and didn't need anything. Do not you and I need our Lord Jesus Christ every day of our lives? Is there somebody here this morning and you're still shutting the door to him? The Lord Jesus, the Son of God, who loves each one of us and gave himself for us. The Lord Jesus Christ, who took my sin and your sin and was punished for it on the cross at Calvary, that it might be possible for him to come into our lives and cleanse us and forgive us and reconcile him to his Heavenly Father, our Heavenly Father. And he wants to do just that. But he wants to do just that every day of our lives, that we might, like Mephibosheth, feed and have fellowship and feast individually, but also collectively, at his table. And he's wanting to do just that with each of us. You know, Zacchaeus at Jericho, the chief tax collector, he wanted to see Jesus, didn't he, for who he was. And he climbed up a sycamore tree. And I can imagine he parted the branches and he wanted to see Jesus as he came along, because he couldn't see, he was so small of stature for the crowd round about. So he shinned up this tree and he looked down on Jesus. And when Jesus came past that tree, he stopped and looked up and said to Zacchaeus, "Zacchaeus, today, Zacchaeus, come down today. I must abide at your house." And he went to stay with Zacchaeus. Don't know what he said to Zacchaeus, but Zacchaeus did say, "Lord, if I've taken anything from anyone falsely, I'll restore it fourfold." And Jesus said to Zacchaeus, "Today, salvation has come to this house." The little chorus we used to sing about Zacchaeus, we used to sing, "Now Zacchaeus was a very little man, and a very little man was he, climbing to a sycamore tree for the Saviour he wanted to see. And when the Saviour passed that way, he looked into the tree and he said, 'Now Zacchaeus, you come down, for I'm coming to your house for tea.'" He wants to feed with us, but he wants to take us to feed with him. Oh, may you and I, when we have tea and coffee after the service, when you have your fellowship meals together, as I know you are doing, as you come, will you first of all have fed at Christ's table yourself? And as you come to a Jacob's joint, whatever, bring something of what Christ has given to you and be able to share it together with others And that is true fellowship. When we are bringing of Christ and his food to us, and what he means to us together, and his presence is really in the midst. And he says, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst, and that to bless. May I ask myself, may I ask you this morning, how are you feeding? Physically, mentally, but particularly spiritually. What's been your intake this morning? What's been mine? Is the door open for Christ to come in? And is he taking you and I to the New Jerusalem, as it were, like Mephibosheth, to feast at his table? Mephibosheth always ate at the king's table. If you and I are to become strong spiritually, we need to come and we need to feast regularly at his table. Let's pray together. Oh, Heavenly Father, we pray this morning that you will forgive us for the times when we failed to come to your table, for the times when in our lives we've struggled on our own, for the times, Heavenly Father, when our lives have been impoverished because we failed to come and feed on the spiritual food you have for us in our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Forgive us this morning, Heavenly Father, too, for the times when mentally our intake has been far from what it ought to be. Forgive us for the times when we've watched things that we ought not to have watched. For the times when we've listened to things they ought not to have listened to. And forgive us if we've neglected to looking after ourselves physically. Oh, Heavenly Father, we pray that you will help us and enable us to become in every way healthy and strong as far as it is possible in our lives, that we might truly serve you as we ought, being steadfast, immovable, always abounding in your word. And as we worship here this morning, we pray too for the church in this our land. We pray, Heavenly Father, there might be a real returning to your word. We pray, Heavenly Father, that Bible classes and prayer meetings that have ceased might start again, as people are moved by you to come and to feast at your table. Bless our Queen this morning. We thank you for her testimony. We thank you for her long reign. We ask your blessing upon our whole family. We pray, Heavenly Father, for those who are over us in places of authority, for our Prime Minister Theresa May, for the Cabinet, for those who represent us at Westminster. We pray, Heavenly Father, you will give them real wisdom as they're negotiating Brexit. And above everything else, Lord, we pray that you will give them wisdom as to how to manage the National Health Service. We pray, Heavenly Father, you will raise up Christians in Parliament who will, as never before, speak out for you and represent you in this our land. Turn us again, Heavenly Father, to yourself. And for a world in chaos, for a world, Heavenly Father, where there is so much pain and suffering, oh Lord, bless your church. We thank you that your grace is sufficient for every need. And we pray today, Lord, for the nations of the world and their leaders, that, Lord, peace might come where there is so much pain and anguish. We lift before you again Syria and Iraq. And we think, Heavenly Father, of the warfare around Mosul at this time. And Lord, wherever we turn, we see trouble. But Heavenly Father, so bless your church that we might be instruments of your love and your peace. And you might so bless what we take in that we can take you out wherever we are for our Lord Jesus Christ. And share with them what our Lord Jesus means to us. And this we ask for the glory of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen.